As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
The unsaved person will not understand scriptural principles until he or she has first accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, you're not going to be interested in this book until the Holy Spirit resides in your heart. But then your spirit will bear witness with the Bible because you know the author personally and you're interested to know what he revealed to us.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Rooted in Biblical Ministry.
It is obvious when you study the life of the Apostle Paul that there were two great motivating factors in his life that just kind of kept him going. Two great motivating factors that really can keep all of us going if you stop and think about it. First of all, Paul never got over the fact that the Son of God had personally died for his sin on an old rugged cross. And by the way, we should never get over that fact either. Jesus Christ died for his sin. In fact, look what he says in verse number 14. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." And it's a wonderful thing when you come to church because you love Jesus and because he loved you. And Paul says, it's just the love of Christ that keeps me going. You know, if you're here because you have to be here, because mama sent you here, because you're afraid someone's going to get after you if you're not here, that's a low motivation. But the highest motivation is the love of Christ. And Paul said, when I think about how much Jesus loved me, I want to serve him. It's a constraining factor in my life. The second great motivating factor in his life was the fact that not only had Jesus saved him, but that Jesus had given him a purpose for living out this life. A reason besides a paycheck or a promotion or a new car or something else, God had given him a purpose for living. And that purpose is found in verse 18 when the Bible says in the latter portion, "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Jesus saved Paul, but then he gave him a ministry. He gave him a purpose for living, the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I'm afraid that many Christians today have forgotten the reason that Jesus saved them. They've forgotten the purpose for life and the purpose for living. And that reason came when God saved you. He called you according to a specific purpose for this life. I heard the story of a little girl that went to school, and she went to recess time, and she saw all of her friends. They had purses and makeup kits, and they had little fancy toys and things, and they had wallets, and she didn't have any of that. And she went home, and she said, "Mom, all of my friends have stuff, and they have fancy things in their purse, and I don't have anything." And so her mom got her little purse and got her little makeup kit and stuff, and she wasn't quite satisfied. So she climbed up onto her mother's dresser, and she looked in a drawer, and she found a piece of paper, and it had her name on it, and it said birth certificate. And she thought, you know, that is a fancy piece of paper, and it has my name on it. I'll show that to all my friends. So she went to school the next day, and she was so excited. On the way to school, she took that piece of paper out, and she was looking at it. And while she was looking at it, the wind blew it away, and it went over into the playground of the school, and she was chasing it. She couldn't catch it. She began to cry. And the janitor came and said, "Sweetheart, why are you crying? What's wrong?" And she was sobbing and sobbing, and finally she looked up to the janitor, and she said, "I just lost my excuse for being born." You know, there's a lot of Christians who forgot the reason they were born again. Did you know that God didn't save you just to keep you out of hell? Although, how many of you are glad you're heaven bound today? But God has a reason for your existence on this earth. He has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is found in the phrase, He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In fact, let me give you another text that really describes that. Look in your notes at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, which says, But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now that's describing salvation. Paul says when you get saved, you're changed from glory to glory, from the old to the new, and it happens by the Spirit. We're born again by the Spirit. He's describing or giving his salvation testimony. Then look at the very next verse, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians and verse 1. He says, Therefore, since he is saved, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now someone might say, wait. How did you get into the ministry, Paul? What do you mean, therefore, seeing we have this ministry? And he would say, oh, everybody receives a ministry when they get saved. God wants all of us to be in his service, every member a minister rooted in biblical ministry. So how do all of us, not just the pastors, how do all of us get rooted in God's purpose for our life, which is biblical ministry? Well, let's study that together this morning. Follow with me. I want you to get involved in the message and get involved in ministry for the Lord. Notice, first of all, if you're going to be involved in ministry, you need to get rooted in the Scriptures. You need to get rooted in the Scriptures. Look at again at verse number 18. It says, And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. By the way, there's no salvation, there's no relationship with God apart from Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But then notice the rest of that verse says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then in verse 19, he says it a different way, the second part of the verse. He says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 19, and hath given or committed to us the word of reconciliation. So the Scriptures are showing us that we must be rooted in the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are the Word of God. The Scriptures are the Word of God. When we refer to the Bible or the Scriptures, we're referring to the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, my friends, this morning, this book that I'm preaching from is a God-breathed book. Holy men of God spake as they were moved, not by other men, but as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is a window in this prison world that lets me look to the heavens and understand the mind of God. And the Word of God is our infallible resource for ministry and for life. This summer, I spent some time studying the lives of the reformers, and I went to several museums and tried to learn about the great stand that they took. You know that during the Dark Ages, the Roman Church killed many Christians, the Waldensians, the Albigenses, the French Huguenots. They took them by the hundreds of thousands, and they burned their Bibles, and they, in essence, were saying, you do what the church says, and the Dark Ages were the result. But there were men who began to wake up and who began to think about the Scriptures, men like Peter Waldo and men that spoke out like Tyndale and Huss. And you know what the reformers were saying? They were saying, we believe that what the Bible says matters more than what anybody's church says. That the Bible is the authority. And from that, you might recall the story, Martin Luther, the former Catholic priest, nailing his thesis to the door of the church and saying, the just shall live by faith, not by works, but by faith. And they lived and died, and many of them were burned at the stake because of that testimony. The just shall live by faith. And we may not agree with the reformers in every little area of their theology, but we are thankful for the courage that they had to stand up and live and die because they believed the Bible was the Word of God. And they believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God. Let me give you three quick ways this morning that you can really get rooted in the Scriptures. First of all, you need to study the Scriptures. And I know I say this often, I can't stress enough that we need to have time each day in the Word of God. Start your day in the Word of God. Read the Word. Get a little Bible study dictionary. Get a little help. Get a friend to be a partner with you. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. David Livingstone, the great Scottish missionary who went to Africa to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, arrived on the shores of Africa. He began his journey into the heart of Africa. He had a few hundred pounds of books with him and many other hundreds of pounds of supplies. And as they started into those jungles, they realized the beasts could not carry all of the poundage that they had. And so they had to begin unloading some of the things. And as they made their way into the heart of Africa, down into modern day Tanzania, they began taking different supplies and throwing them along the side of the road. And they'd travel another 100 miles or so. They'd throw some more things to the side. They began to get rid of books. They threw away books along the way and gave books away. And finally, Livingstone said when he got to the heart of Africa, he had very few supplies and he had one book left. And that one book was the Word of God. And he said that's all he needed to sustain his soul. And I'm telling you right now, more than anything, you need the Bible. More than HBO, more than NBC, more than your Time Warner cable, more than all of the internet, more than all of your library. You need to make sure that you take God's Word and daily are hearing from God and reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. Amen. Don't let all the other books and all the other things crowd your study time out. Notice, secondly, we're to meditate on the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, God said to Joshua. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And then we need to practice the Word of God. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Why? Because the Scriptures are the Word of God. But notice, secondly, the Scriptures are the center of ministry. Everything we do revolves around the Scripture. In fact, I believe there's no real ministry without the Word of God in the middle. You hear a lot of people say, well, I'm in the basketball ministry, or I'm in the facilities ministry, or I'm in this or that. And all of those things are needed. Those are good ways to serve God. But true ministry does not happen until you take what you're learning from the Word of God and share with someone else what you're learning from the Word of God. Because ministry or a minister is one who is an aide or a teacher helping someone else to understand. Think of how the Bible describes ministry. Acts 21:19 says, and when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things he had wrought, God had wrought amongst the Gentiles by his ministry. And Paul was not talking about tent making. He was talking about the teaching of the Word of God. Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. In Acts chapter 6, the pastor said to the deacons, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. You see, ministry revolves around the Word of God. Look at Ephesians 4. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God says, here's what I want you to do at church. I want the pastors to teach the Word of God for the perfecting of the saints, the teaching of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? So that all of us together can go out and tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may all minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see in the Scriptures that they are the Word of God. They're the center of what is to happen at the local church. But notice, thirdly, the Scriptures give God's plan of reconciliation. You see, the central theme of this book is that God loves man and wants fellowship with him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at verse 19 again, if you would. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now let's think about this for a moment. Notice that phrase, God was in Christ. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ was 100% God. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all the fullness dwell. I had a man give me a pamphlet recently, and I didn't realize that he was a Muslim man, and inside it said, we believe that there is one true God, and the one true God is Allah. And he was talking in there about his belief in who God was. Well, the one true God not only is not Allah, the one true God has a son whose name is Jesus, who is 100% God. And the Bible speaks of that in this verse number 19. And it says that God was in Christ and that it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And when someone says, hey, you know, we just need to be tolerant and hold hands with all the other religions, we need to say, time out, wait a minute. We cannot hold hands with someone who denies that God ever had a son, much less that his son is God in the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is eternal God. And we see that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Jesus came as the God-man born in the flesh, 100% man, 100% God, to bring a sinful world into relationship with God the Father. And that's the gospel. But notice also he has given to us this message. The word of reconciliation. Notice that again there in verse number 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now just stop right here for a minute. How many of you thank God you live in America today? How many of you know what I just preached 3 minutes ago? In many countries of this world, I could be killed for. I thank God I live in America today. How many of you thank God you have a Bible today? Literally, men were burned at the stake for printing the Bible because the Church of Rome feared the people having the Bibles. We live in a free country. We have the Bible. And so literally, we can illustrate this fact that God has given to us the word of reconciliation. It's been given to you and to me. We have it. We possess it. He's committed unto us his gospel message. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so God has given us his plan of reconciliation so that we might share it with this day and this world in which we live. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was preaching in Houston, Texas, and there was a lady in the church that was a manager at NASA. I preached Monday night, and I preached Tuesday morning. I was getting ready to preach Tuesday night. And the lady said to the pastor, if Brother Chapel would like to see the Mission Control Center, I would be more than delighted to show you, Pastor, and Brother Chapel around. And he asked me, and the pastor seemed to want to do it. And I said, all right, that'd be great. And so we went down to Mission Control, and they were showing us around this big room and all the computers, and they talked about how they supported the space shuttle and how it all worked with different satellite systems. And there were these big screens up there showing how the space shuttle would orbit the Earth, and it was all really, really interesting. And while we were in that room, I was just kind of moseying around, and I looked over on the side wall, and there was a sign, and the sign said, Mission Statement for Mission Control. Now, I like to read mission statements, purpose statements, but I thought, man, this is good. Mission Statement for Mission Control. I want to see what it says. And I walked over to that side wall, and I saw that plaque, and I began to write this down, and this is what it said. To always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly, we may find ourselves in a role where our performance has ultimate consequence. So they wanted those engineers to know that if our astronauts are up in space and that shuttle starts to get the jitters or there start to come some of the tiles flying off, that suddenly and unrepentantly, those men on the ground better be doing everything they can to get those astronauts back down to Earth, and that they were to be ready suddenly and unrepentantly to realize that they had a role where their performance had ultimate consequences. Now, just as sure as those men needed to be alert and ready, and thank God for the men that are here in our military who are ready at any moment to defend our freedom, just as surely as they need to do that, God says, I want you to be ready to give my gospel in this community where you live. Look at 1 Peter 3:15 in your notes. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Notice this now, and be ready always. Would you say that with me, please? And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God says, now look it, my scriptures are my word at the center of your life and ministry. Any church that's worth its salt has the Bible right in the middle of everything going on. And I want you to understand that in the middle of my Bible is a message of reconciliation, that I sent my son and that I was in my son, that he was God in the flesh and that he died for the sins of the world. And just like an engineer at NASA should be ready at any moment to get those astronauts home, I want you to be ready at work tomorrow. I want you to be ready in the neighborhood tomorrow. I want you to be ready at any moment to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be here this morning just listening intellectually then. We ought to be listening with a thought. How could I use that verse with a friend of mine? How could I use that scripture with my teenager? How can I get in the ministry with what I'm hearing right now, you see? And so we see that we're to be rooted in the scriptures. Notice secondly, we need to be rooted then in service. The reason we're rooted in the scriptures is so that we can be rooted in a life of service or ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once again, notice it says in verse 19, it says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, let me ask you this morning, what interests you? What is big to you? And I know you're in church right now, and so a lot of you are going to say, oh, the Lord, the Bible, missions, you know, whatever you're preaching about, that's big to me. You know, let's rewind that. Let's just rewind it 3 days. What have you been talking about on Facebook? How's your identity on Facebook? When you set your account up, what did you say about yourself? Now, it's amazing to me, some Christians, and say, has he been looking at my Facebook lately? Aw, yes. No, I haven't been looking at your Facebook, but I've seen a few in my day. And I've seen some Christians, and I have to look a long time before I see Christ anywhere on that Facebook page. Now that when they're with me, amen, pastor, we love the Lord. We gotta whoop those liberals and bring this country back to God. We're not going to do that if everything on your Facebook is anything but Jesus Christ or the Bible. I'm just saying, what interests you? What do you talk about? I mean, are you ready at a moment at work? Do you have a gospel tract? Do you have a verse memorized? I mean, is there anything in your heart that you can use to be ready at a moment's notice for the Lord? Now, God says, look it, I want you to be rooted and ready for service. And notice this, if you would. First, Christ has given us a specific ministry, verse 19. It is the word of reconciliation, John 20:21. Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And all that we would understand that God says, I'm going to send you out. I want you to be ready. Matthew 28, the scriptures say in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. 40 times in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, he healed somebody. And yet 36 of those 40 times, somebody had to bring that person to Jesus Christ in order to be healed. Who do you work with? Who do you know that you could bring to the house of God, that you could give them a gospel tract? There's somebody that you can bring them to the point of reconciliation if you would share Christ with them. You see, God has given to us a specific ministry. You say, oh, pastor, no, you're in the ministry. The pastoral staff, they're in the ministry, but the Bible indicates he's given all of us the ministry. All of us the ministry. Not only that, Christ has given us a privileged office. Notice this, if you would please, in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word,
and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.